welcome to the NutraMedical Report, and we have one of our favorite guests back, and he's on regularly, Freeman, and we're going to talk about a whole range of topics. And Freeman, I want to get started because we have so much to cover. The first goes back to the 1970s with a consortium of these various globalists, or we call the PTB, or powers that be, of setting up the 10 regions of the U.S. It's now encoded into our U.S. postal code system. It's also now, according to an Obama nation, or the usurper-in-chief, the Barack Anaten recent executive order, he set up 10 governors over these 10 regions. This is all part of the, not only of COG continuity of government also, but tell us the background, please.
Well, this comes straight through Rockefeller, CFR, and Richard Nixon through Henry Kissinger. Back in 1971, Nixon stated to the Union in his State of the Union address that the executive branch, Congress, will have to change by giving up its powers. He signed Executive Order 11-647, which then gave the government the power to bring these regional councils or regional districts into being. So when we look at what Obama has done now with his executive order in opening the very platform that was established in the 70s to get these 10 regions that are then under the authority of Homeland Security, of NORTHCOM, of the Coast Guard, and is following suit, following the plan. This was talked back in the 80s. Many people were covering the idea of these 10 regions and how they would be set up, and that we would actually have two new capitals, one being in Atlanta and the other being in Denver. And really, I thought that was a curious note when Obama had come out and said, you know, we're having all of this open disclosure on our government actions. I'm giving you all of the data on the internet so that you can go search it out for yourself. And then had the meeting in Denver about the economic strain and the new currency, really, is what many people thought. And delayed the information to the public for 4 days, and this was immediately after saying he was going to give us all the information, and kind of highlighted the significance of Denver as he went there to make his speech. So Denver would most likely become like the financial capital of the U.S.
Yeah, let me explain a little bit. Firstly, the Denver Mint is there. I spent 10 years in Denver and some time also in Colorado Springs. And it was basically supernaturally appointed, because I get in places where people still say, there's no way you got into all these places and you know all these contacts. It couldn't happen to a dozen people in 1,000 years. Well, guess what? I didn't have control of my calendar and my organizer. God did. And he put me in those places like Daniel so I'd be able to report to people that, yes, Denver International Airport. In fact, my current accountant still is the accountant for one of the major excavation and trucking companies. I've had so many contacts. I was the executive examiner for most of the airlines there as a civil aviation examiner. Also, the security teams were not only under DIA, but under the city, underneath DIA, which goes down so many levels, it's ridiculous. It's one of the largest facilities on the planet. They removed more dirt, more rock, more material when they built DIA for years. We used to call it, this is a joke actually, it was called Denver Imaginary Airport. Years and years before, it went way over budget. I mean, they'll tell you it cost X number of $1 billion. It was many times that because it's so damn big. They used more concrete. In fact, at the time when they're in their peak construction, something like 75-80% of the concrete in Portland cement on the planet went into DIA. That's how big it is. It is 25 miles from the city, 19 miles further than the Stapleton Airport. It's on an area of 100 square miles. The underground facility under it is 81 square miles on the top. That's how big it is, give you an idea. So the airport itself is relatively tiny compared to the actual facility underneath it.
And it has quite the doomsday display inside. I've filmed that Denver International mural there.
Yeah, well, it was put up there by a Mayan artist. And all of the symbols are end of the world, solar mass ejection, death of the planet, death of the ecosystems, coffins draped with little girls of every type, including white, native, Chinese, etc. And if you actually look at it, it shows in symbology exactly what we've been talking about on this show regularly, warning people that there are things going to happen. And we're not talking about just the Mayan issue. This goes well beyond that. We're looking at issues that are dealing with science now. I saw the 2012 presentation on True TV on YouTube by Jesse Ventura, and he actually did a pretty good job of covering a pretty complex subject in a short time. What he did, he concentrated on a couple of issues rather than getting into the Cross of Hende and all the Mayan stuff and spending all his time on that. He moved, which I thought was smart, to interview Larry Joseph on the fact that they had a swarm last July of five satellites that went through NASA, went through the magnetosphere and proved it was a whole four times wider than the Earth inside the Van Allen radiation belt, and that the government themselves is stating that they were in danger of a solar mass ejection at the end of solar cycle 24 or thereafter, knocking out our satellites and our power grid, and the government's doing nothing. It would only cost around $200 to $300 million to put these ground surge protectors to stop a solar surge blowing out all our grid, which is actually pretty fragile. It's put together by public and private partnerships across America, but the same around South America, Europe, elsewhere. And a lot of our electronics are very sensitive to a solar mass ejection or even just sunspot activity. So that alone, not even combining the fact that there's Earth changes, the magnetic North Pole is moving 40 miles per year toward Russia. And we know that if you actually look at the crustal slip, it happens periodically. It's just a geological fact. It's not a conspiracy theory. It's just the facts and the way the Earth, the continents slide around periodically, and at times they slide a lot faster. And we're not even necessarily postulating with Patrick Garrell, which I don't believe is correct, that we're going to be facing a giant 5,000 to 6,000 foot wall of water spreading over the continents. What we're more likely facing is a solar mass ejection knocking out our satellites and the magnetosphere being down for a period of maybe 2 to 4, 6, 8 weeks, where there's increased outside radiation from ultraviolet light, cosmic, and x-rays. That alone will wipe out crops, and anybody that's outside will get burnt or develops, you know, third degrees ultraviolet C and other burns. So you have to be indoors. You have to be in some protection. And I'm not going to put the date of, you know, December 21st, because I think that these events have already started happening to some extent some years ago in the late 90s with the magnetic North Pole moving pretty rapidly, three major moves. And we can see the Earth changes with the earthquake that happened in Haiti along the San Andreas Fault all the way from near Petrolia, California, through the Baja in, you know, American Samoa, Tonga. I mean, you go all over the world, and you're seeing a heck of a lot more earthquakes and volcanism occurring. And this is in theory. You know, people need to wise up that the government's not protecting the public and that they're building these underground cities, as Jesse showed, at an enormous pace. And it's not just because they're expecting a war with Russia, which you'd think, you know, oh, you're going to hide underground because there's incoming nuclear missiles. No, 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 no. There's a lot more than that going on here. And DIA is, I've heard this from very classified sources, right directly face-to-face by CIA and NSA agents that have told me that they expected the nation to be split into 10 regions, 5 in the west and 5 in the east, and that the capital you want to call it USA Territory West would be Denver, and USA Territory East would be Atlanta. And that's going back many years, and that's from many very reliable sources face-to-face. So what your facts check out with my facts and what Jesse found and others, so it's not really hidden anymore, is it?
No, not at all. They are bringing this right in front of us in many ways. And you know, I guess the history is short in people's minds. They don't tend to remember even reports of Planet X coming to the news front. They don't remember that these things have been prepared and talked about for many, many years, and it gets lost in the memory. Then when Obama comes out and signs an executive order with this Council of Governors, where he gets to select them, they don't recognize the trouble that this is and how long this plan has been going.
Yeah, this has been going on for 5 decades. Obama is just an empty suit doing what he's told. He is the Actors Guild usurper-in-chief, Barack Anaten, as you stated. Things are going to culminate here shortly, so people better start getting ready. Hour 3, we're going to have John Moore and Greg Evenson with more shocking news, but we're going to talk about Chandra and others, the X-ray satellite proving the incoming dwarf star. Back in a moment. Welcome back. Welcome back to the Nutramedical Report, and we've got some remarkable new news for you. Shocking news, but it's true. We have information not only in the 10 districts, and we want to go over this a little bit more, but we also have John DeNiro calling in John, of course, has been following the show for a long time. He has a background in physics, has done research, I think, at one of the telecommunications companies, has taught physics for years, and been following, quote, the Planet X information, which goes back well over, you know, goes back over 200 years, actually. Goes back over the time. Now, with the information from the Chanda X-ray satellite and others, we now have proof, not conjecture, that this is not kind of a made-up thing, that there is an incoming dwarf star. So you can check it out yourself, listeners. You can actually go and check out the links. This is a satellite-based X-ray telescope, and of course is also the reason why they have the SPT, or South Pole Telescope, that was completed in operation in July of 2007. And their IRAS, or the infrared telescopes, are looking in their southern hemisphere for the approaching issue of a dwarf star, which, of course, according to the reports, the winged destroyer, which you'll see on all the ancient symbols in Egypt and the pyramids and the cartouches, the winged is actually related to the plasma fields that warp around the dwarf star and create these, if you want to call it, lit wings on this orb of destruction. They call it the there's various different names that the ancient Egyptians and the Sumerians used for it, but it's all basically the same. Apparently it's beyond Pluto now, but moving at a relatively rapid rate, and I don't want to put a specific date, but it is approaching, so this is not made up. John, can you give us a little more information from your perspective, and then we're going to hear from Freeman some more, but I want people to understand that I don't expect the Patrick Girl model with a pole shift to occur, but I do expect a crustal slip and on or after 2012. I do expect solar mass ejections, and the grid isn't going to make it. I mean, I have this from conventional and non-conventional sources, classified sources, and the fact is we could prepare and stop it. We could have hardened satellites that have ferromagnetic or other hardened chip systems so that they don't get knocked out by solar mass ejection or solar storm. But we're not doing that. And we're not doing that at the same time as True TV Jesse Ventura interviews and says that they're building these underground bases, not just here, but around the world in other countries, at an enormous pace, diverting trillions of dollars of capital into saving a minority of people and, quote, preserving civilization rather than taking care of the people. In fact, the biggest problem in Haiti isn't the earthquake. It was the IMF. And we're going to review this a little bit at the top of the hour. Webster Griffin Tapley will be on tomorrow to talk about his plan, which I'm going to post up as well. The IMF, of course, made the country of Haiti poor, made them have such poverty. They had poor manufacturing concrete and construction technologies. And other places, if they had proper construction, the buildings wouldn't have collapsed. It would have also, even our plan of the way we're rescuing the people is inadequate, with not doing Hercules 130 airdrops and other technologies. They're, as he puts it in his words, trying to feed the Haitian people, 3 million people trapped there around Port-au-Prince, with an eyedropper. And that's a formula for disaster, and the violence and the pestilence is going to start spreading unless we get our act together and stop trying to see if we can bring it all through the airport rather than doing airdrops with heavy lift aircraft running back and forth like a shuttle or a bucket brigade. John, tell us what you know about this, because you've been following it closely. A lot of people think that you're a tinfoil hat person if you believe in Planet X. I don't even like to use the word Planet X, although I call it the 74%. This is an astrophysiological fact of the stars in our galaxy, our binary, and around 12 to 13% are trinary, according to the astrophysicists, which means a lot of stars basically have got a two-star system, and you have to use a broader definition, including dwarf stars, white dwarfs, etc., and the possibility of stars that are actually like our Jupiter, for example, by the definition that it gives off more radiation in certain radiation bands than it receives from our sun, is actually, by definition, a star, even though it's a, if you want to call it a nascent star, that's not likely to flare up into an actual star. It gives off certain kinds of radiation because of the nuclear reactions occurring deep in its core. Can you give us some more insight of what you see happening?
Right. Well, would you like me to give you a little background on the history of Planet X to prove, actually, to dispel the prejudice that ignorant, I should say, unenlightened people have?
Well, the public, they're being purposely kept ignorant,
right?
Because the government's not preparing. Yeah, and these, by the way, these climate changes are going to cause mass starvation, and already this year we've had the weakest wheat crops since 1918. We have more soybean futures purchased by the Chinese than soybeans that can be delivered, so there's going to be a lot of angry people. And we're going to have food prices spike through the ceiling this year, and it's going to get much worse in the next few years, with the possibility of increased rainfall driving us to a mini cooling ice age. At the same time, we're at higher risk of solar mass ejections and other things occurring, knocking out our high-tech society. So
Right. We're
not prepared for any of this, and the powers that be are doing squat, absolutely nothing. And in fact, the government has promulgated these plagues like the H1N1, maybe in their twisted minds as a form of mercy to try to take us out before the earth changes start to become obvious to everyone.
Yes, and because the world is plagued with this complete and utter ignorance as to the reason why the earth is now undergoing increasing disastrous events, because of this ignorance, people are unprepared, and we have to enlighten them rapidly.
And we could survive.
One of the first things we can do is to show them the actual proof, because we have to use the name Planet X. It's a legitimate name, which was coined by the astronomical community back around 200 years ago.
Yeah, was that Tycho Brahe was one of the first people involved with that, too?
I'm not sure. From what I read, the earliest was, in fact, I've got this article, and this is really breaks through the barrier of prejudice and skepticism as to the actuality of Planet X. If I could just read a little bit, it would really open people's minds
and get them to believe it
so that you could go on and give the current information that exists.
Right.
Because we're so near disaster, and we have to get people to believe it so that they prepare themselves and not just push it aside. Okay, this article, as I'm reading it, I photocopied it from the New York Times, Sunday, January 30th, 1983. I put it up on my website. I sent it out to I emailed it to many people. So they have
a copy of that article.
Too.
Yeah, it's
okay,
the original article.
It's absolute proof that Planet X exists. And the title is Sunday, January 30th, New York Times. The title of the article is Clues Get Warm in the Search for Planet X by John Noble Wilford. If you would just allow me a few minutes, I could read most of the article so people could believe that it really exists, and then we could go on and give the current information.
Right.
Something out there beyond the farthest reaches of the known solar system seems to be tugging at Uranus and Neptune. Some gravitational force keeps perturbing the two giant planets, causing irregularities in their orbits. The force suggests a presence, far away and unseen, a large object that may be the long-sought Planet X. Evidence assembled in recent years has led several groups of astronomers to renew the search for the 10th planet. They are devoting more time to visual observations with the 200-inch telescope at Mount Palomar in California. They are tracking two Pioneer spacecraft now approaching the orbit of distant Pluto to see if variations in their trajectories provide clues to the source of the mysterious force.
Right. Stay right there. We'll be back in just a second with John DiNardo and Freeman. And Freeman, if you can stay over also at the top of the hour, the first segment we're going to talk about more of this and the preparation for Haiti and Webster Tarpley's very amazing analysis of what needs to be done to save these people. Back in just a moment. Hot news.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN, great talk radio starts here.
Welcome back to the Nutri-Medical Report. And Freeman, I want to get your comment first, but we're going to continue. Freeman, your comment, you've been sending a lot of information regarding Chandra. I also have contacts about the SPT or South Pole Telescope monitoring and IRAS. Tons of information. And we haven't discussed this for some months now, but now with the big earthquake occurring in Haiti, and I've seen intuitively and through, if you want to call it, visions, and a lot of them aren't complete, they're partial, that there's going to be a major earthquake strike the west coast of the United States, probably Northern California is where I've seen it, in April, May of a year. And I don't know which year it is, but my gut tells me that it's coming quickly. In other words, it could be this year, it could be next year, it could be the following year. But we're on a serious surge, a swarm of earthquakes all the way from the Baja California along the same fault systems that run right up off Petrolia that was the current earthquake just the day before the one that happened in Haiti. And that earthquake was 49 miles from Eureka, California, and it caused $28 million damage. If they had poor construction techniques of the buildings in Eureka or in a major city in that same region, they would have had a larger number of deaths, too. And the big problem, as I mentioned earlier, with Haiti was the IMF. Poor construction techniques, forced poverty, repayment of debts to the IMF, which is a horrendous organization. They're the reason for so many people that died. The poor concrete and other things and the poverty is the underlying reason why when an earthquake strikes, you don't have 5,000 or 10,000 dead, you have 200,000. Then you have a single airport and inadequate resources to bring them in. And now we have an inadequate general managing it, trying to bring it all through an airport that's jammed up like a bottleneck. It's obscene. So
let me add some breaking news to that as well. A magnitude 6.0 quake hit Guatemala on Monday. It was just 60 miles southeast of the Guatemala City.
Yeah, now these are going to increase. Now, what I think 2010 is going to be, and this is where Gerald Celente is correct, and I've talked to him independently, he'll be back on the program here in the next week or so, is survival is going to go mainline. Because people are no longer going to think, that darn Dr. Deagle, he thinks he knows everything. I don't. But the things I know, including classified information, damn it, don't argue with me, for God's sake, to save your own life. You better not. You better check out the facts first, but you find out after you check them out when you're starting to see documentary things coming out in regular Time Warner, True TV with Jesse Ventura and many others, that this is going mainline now. People are not going to be able to dismiss this and say, you're the tinfoil hat people, you're nuts. Sorry, I worked as a civilian doctor with U.S. Base Command Strategic Defense in Star Wars. I have advanced technical training in everything from quantum physics to biology to scalar weaponry. I took care of the people working on scalar weapons for years. I have knowledge that no one else on this or any other network even remotely either could either understand or relay to the public. And you need to tell, and I need to tell you that this manufactured plague is part of the scheme. The bubble, the green bubble, is a distraction with the global warming garbage to try to say everything is global warming, even Haiti. I mean, I think one of the black Hollywood stars actually said global warming caused Haiti. I think it was the guy that plays opposite of, what was the name? I'm trying to think of the star. Mel Gibson, the black actor that's a great actor.
Danny Glover.
Danny Glover. He said that global warming caused Haiti. Now, come on, people. We need to get our act together. This is an incredible distraction. So, you know, when we have these big earthquakes hitting, and they're not prepared in San Francisco to deal with this. They're not prepared in Northern California. They're not prepared to have an earthquake range all the way from there to the Baja California. And it doesn't propagate the energy as well as on the East Coast. As I talked to John Moore, who will be on the third hour, but people are not ready for this. They're not ready for power outages, going back to the dark ages electronically. They're not ready because the government is not at all preparing the people for anything. Food shortages, electricity gone, basic services, nothing. Nothing, okay? So if you're not angry right now, if you don't have this kind of gnawing at your stomach, like maybe you heard the words just like my ancestor Moses warned the people, you better listen up or you're going to suffer and then you're going to die. You better listen up because these things are very real. And yes, they approach slowly, but there's lots of warning signs they're coming. So, John, tell us more.
Okay, just to give you a brief up to prove that Planet X is not a hokey term, that it's the term that was coined by the scientific community, let me just continue briefly with
right.
This New York Times article, 1983, January 30th. Quote, after the discovery of Uranus in 1781 by the English astronomer and musician William Herschel, that's when the Planet X story began. Until then, the planetary system seemed to end with Saturn. As astronomers observed Uranus, noting irregularities in its orbital path, many speculated that they were witnessing the gravitational pull of an unknown planet. So began the first planetary search based on astronomers' predictions, which ended in the 1840s with the discovery of Neptune, almost simultaneously by English, French, and German astronomers. But Neptune was not massive enough to account entirely for the orbital behavior of Uranus. Indeed, Neptune itself seemed to be affected by a still more remote planet. In the late 19th century, two American astronomers, William Pickering and Percival Lowell, predicted the size and approximate location of the trans-Neptunian body, which Lowell called Planet X. Years later, Pluto was detected by Clyde Tombaugh, working at Lowell Observatory in Arizona. Several astronomers, however, suspected it might not be Planet X of prediction. Subsequent observations proved them right. Pluto was too small to change the orbits of Uranus and Neptune. The combined mass of Pluto and its recently discovered satellite Charon is only one-fifth that of Earth's moon. Recent calculations by the here's the important part. Recent calculations by the United States Naval Observatory have confirmed the orbital perturbation exhibited by Uranus and Neptune, which Dr. Thomas C. Van Flandern, who just died recently, an astronomer at the observatory, says could be explained by a single undiscovered planet. He and colleague Dr. Robert Harrington, who many believe was murdered, Dr. Robert Harrington, calculate that the 10th planet should be 2 to 5 times more massive than Earth and should have a highly elliptical orbit that takes it some 5 billion miles beyond that of Pluto, hardly next door, but still within the gravitational influence of the Sun. Some astronomers have reacted cautiously to 10th planet predictions. They remember the long, futile quest of the et cetera, et cetera. Basically, that's it. Now, This article goes into much more detail, but it absolutely proves. What I'm trying to prove here is that the 10th planet, Planet X, is not a name that I made up or some other, you know, bizarre...
I want to do a full show on this as well.
...by the astronomical community, and we have abundant evidence. It's just that people's ignorance tends to associate the name Planet X with some sci-fi...
Exactly. John, what I want to do is we're going to do a full show so we give this proper interest, because most of the regular shows on Genesis or any other network or regular network or even True TV, we've got to put enough time into people to realize we're not doing this as ghoulish entertainment. This is referencing actual satellites like Larry Joseph, which is an excellent thing that they did actually when they did the True TV interview. Their people did some good work because they interviewed Larry Joseph, who I'm going to get back on the program, who references actual the National Academy of Sciences. And in his words, it's the closest thing to the Supreme Court in terms of judging scientific validity or not. Okay, so when they talk about the 5 satellites that are NASA satellites, the actual reports that are on their website, the actual reports like IRAS, the South Pole Telescope, insiders have sent out information. This is not made up. Now, it's not to panic people, but it's to tell people several things. Firstly, the changes that they're being told by the so-called pseudoscientists like Patrick Garrell to talk about giant tsunamis striking the continents isn't going to happen. But things that are very likely to happen in the next, say, 5 to 10 years is you're no more grid. Bye-bye, grid. See ya. Electronics. Everything's electronic. Your refrigerator's electronic. Your watch is electronic. Your computer. If you don't have ways of protecting, and part of the reason for all of this nanoparticles in space is not just scalar weaponry or trying to control the jet stream. It's trying to create a Dyson sphere against a solar mass ejection and giant, you know, quadrillions of particles striking the outside of the Earth in a magnetosphere that's down, so creating a new pseudo-shield around Earth. That's what's going on. If you think this is peripheral to why the governments are scrambling with so many things like national health care, scrambling with building underground cities, scrambling with creating a bubble economy to blow it to pieces, don't wonder. If you see, as I say, the best thing to do is ask better questions first rather than trying to seek the answers. Then you'll ask the right questions. Back in a moment. Hour number 3, we're going to have John Moore and Greg Evenson. And if we keep on hammering away at this nail, people are going to say, look, if they want to publicly debate us, okay, we have enough evidence that it demands better questions at the very least. Well, number one, these earth changes, including the earthquake which occurred in Haiti and off of Petrolia, California, near Eureka, that caused $28 million damage. These major earthquakes in Mexicali, head of the Baja California, all along this fault line. Earthquakes now in Guatemala that just occurred, a 6.0. These are not minor quakes. These are big, big earthquakes. And they're now on the new Richter scale. The Tonga earthquake that occurred last year, which is literally the volcano literally surged right through the surface of the waters. And if you want to actually talk about the height of the mountain created by this volcano, some of these volcanoes are taller than the Swiss Alps. They grew in a matter of years. So the volcanism on the planet is increasing dramatically. We're seeing major changes in the Earth that are occurring, and they're cyclical. And this has happened before. It's all recorded in the rock record. The fact is, we don't want to face it. We think that we live in a nonviolent planet, and these morons and politicians try to tell us lies that every change that occurs, even the cooling and freezing in the dark in Britain that's occurring, that expects 60,000 minimum extra deaths caused by the cooling just this winter alone in the UK, it's not due to that at all. We're heading toward a cooling period, and increased rainfall is what drives it toward an ice age. We're heading toward earth changes that are going to start moving the continents, not a pole shift, but a crustal slip, and we're looking at the possibility of a period of anywhere from a month or two or more where the shields will be down and will be exposed to cosmic X-rays and the solar wind and solar mass ejections that will knock out our so-called advanced culture if we don't start hardening our satellites and putting ground surge protectors. So this is for those politicians out there, smarten up and stop lying to the public and pretending you're doing anything other than getting your golden ticket to go underground and being a prostitute for the global system, which you think is the only solution, which, to be honest with you, those people going in these underground cities, if they're not more than 6 miles or 10 kilometers down, they're telling you a bill of goods and your underground city, which they call hotels, will be your resting place and your tomb. So, Freeman, tell us more.
Well, when we look back and we look into the mystery schools that rule most of what we know of as our space programs and our government, these mystery schools always had the sun behind the sun, the dark sun, or sometimes it's stated Osiris is a black god. And they have constantly had these references, such as Hitler's swastika as a reference to the black sun. Well, it seems that we have discovered this black sun, and it was the Chandra telescope that really gave us the proper image of it. As we were saying, the IRIS, or the infrared satellite, gave us somewhat of an image of this incoming body, but now that we have such high-tech, sophisticated equipment such as Chandra, which actually means shining, and we're back to the shining one in Lucifer.
You'll
constantly find this type of symbolism.
Which is a return of Quetzalcoatl, Kukulkan, and of course the idea of the black sun. They're actually down in Tennessee. There is a black sun fountain, and of course the black sun is the primary object of worship of the Thulengelenschaft societies in Nazi Germany. People need to understand that these things go back very ancient. There are ancient cultures that predate the so-called modern religions, and most of the modern religions are just reincarnations of ancient nature and solar and occultic worship.
So we begin to discover that they had a purpose to building these pyramids and celestial alignments. They had a purpose to building Chaco Canyon in Native America. They had a purpose to watch the sun, to watch the time, because this knowledge has been passed down through the ages, even to the Fatima prophecies given to the Pope, that this knowledge of incoming destruction has been held by these elite throughout time and passed down through symbolic gestures. So, but now we've moved into our high-tech world, and magicians like Jack Parsons and Jet Propulsion Laboratories are up looking at these things as they're trying to detect them. But, of course, what's coming is invisible. So what we needed was X-ray in order to see it, because what we see now, what they call G1.9, and you go look at this at the official NASA.gov Chandra website, and, well, basically, if you've seen the Firefox logo, you've seen G1.9, which, once again, goes back to Luciferian-type symbolism, because the only word you can make in English out of 666 is Fox. So when we start to see, now what they had said was this was a supernova that had exploded, but what happened was that it didn't follow what their mathematics said a supernova exploded would do.
That's
so
the actual Chandra website. Yeah, in other words, they've initially called it that, but when they went back and reviewed it, the actual image got bigger rather than disappearing after supernova, which indicated it was a approaching dwarf star beyond Pluto coming in.
Exactly. So now Spanish astronomers connected with the Star Viewers team have announced that this followed their prophecy or their predictions as to what would occur if this were a brown dwarf heading our direction, and it turns out that the Star Viewer team's mathematics proved more correct than JPL's.
Right. Well, they're covering it up, to be honest with you, because it's become a political football. I mean, what are you going to do? So you have these movies out that try to make it look like it's foolish, like The Knowing with Nicolas Cage that warns us about solar mass ejections. Then you got 2012, which totally is over the top with Patrick Garrel and Roland Emmerich's film trying to talk about super tsunamis that no one can survive, and he's going to have these camps in Africa and so on, and they're going to have these little round boats that will float, and everything's going to die and all this stuff. Come on. First off, number one, my God is God. And number two, the globalists are not preparing the public for anything. They're not saying, hey, what would happen? What could happen? Where do you need to be protected? What kinds of shelters would stop it? What kinds of space-based technology do we have, which we do have very advanced technology that could be used to block any solar storms? But they're not talking to the public at all. They're not getting any feedback or, let's say, hey, how many billions or trillions of dollars do we need to save the planet from a species die-off or a major catastrophe to the population? What if we have Hades every month? What if we have Haiti that's in large population centers like New York City or San Francisco or Beijing? What do we if we have these every week? What are we going to do? We as a planet are not prepared to even properly rescue the people in Haiti when they're only 90 miles off our coast. And we're doing a piss-poor job of it, you know, to be honest with you. I'm really angry that they don't have heavy lift Hercules dropping in things right now. Those people are, when they start starving, as Gerald Celente says, when they lose it all, they lose it. We're going to see more people die from the violence and starvation and pestilence than died and crushed in poorly made buildings caused by the IMFing the people of Haiti. Because we've had agencies there for decades trying to help these people. It's not an agency problem. You need to stop. You need to forgive the debt. You need to stop forcing them to pay back debts that they can't pay because they've been under the boot of the International Monetary Fund. That's the problem. And they want to IMF America now. That's the next game. The next game is to switch to a new world economy that the IMF is under, has their boot on everyone's neck.
Speaking of doomsdays, now, March of 2009, we had a meteor asteroid that nearly hit the planet, and this was when they announced the coming of Apophis publicly.
Right.
At that same moment, in Astana, in Kazakhstan, this new 21st century capital, the president there was announcing the one world currency, which he was calling Akmetal, which actually means supreme quality. And they are about to announce and host the fourth Congress of world leaders to bring about this one world religion in 2012 at the Pyramid of Peace in Kazakhstan, in Astana.
Yeah. Now, why would they choose Kazakhstan? What do you think?
Exactly.
Why would they choose Kazakhstan? It's in the middle of darn well nowhere.
But they're launching clowns into space. You know, this is where the Cirque du Soleil launched from. This is where the Russian spaceport is. And what you'll find is that all of these G20 nations gathering together are all extraterrestrial, just like India launching all those rockets up for the solar eclipse. Every one of these nations now is an extraterrestrial nation. In other words, they're launching into space. And actually, Phobos is going to be a big portion of that story this year. I'm certain the Phobos grunt mission of the Russia-China alliance will finally get off the ground. Not to mention all the closing down of NASA and the Ares space program coming in and SpaceX taking over.
Wow. Stay right there. We're going to come back in the first segment with Freeman, and we're going to be talking also with John DiNardo. Yeah, shocking news, but you can check out the links yourself, and it's going to weld into our Hour 3 updates, and we're going to have Freeman back on soon. Stay there, Freeman and John DiNardo, and your calls and questions in the first segment. Hour is 800-259-5791. As I say, like the Star Trek, we are going to go where no one has gone before or even dares to go there. We're going to ask the tough questions. You may not have all the answers, but we have some of them. And where this all points, we need to fall down before the Most High God. We need to prepare physically, emotionally, and spiritually for what's coming, because what's coming is real, not the delusions of those or those trying to entertain you. Back in just a moment with a Nutramedical Report.